called rejoice. Y'all ain't hearing me here. And the same God that filled you with joy the first time. Anybody remember ever being saved and the joy that filled your heart and how you feel? You just have to tell somebody it was just good to you, good for you, and just went all through. Well, if you get low on that, just call him up. I wish I had somebody. And rejoice. And listen at this, because notice again, the rejoicing is in the Lord. That's how I get my joy to come back when I allow my joy to run low. That's how I get my joy to be re-satisfied and sanctified, is when I go back to Jesus. Now look at this, look at this. He says, for emphasis' sake. See, he says, again I say, rejoice. The first time he says it, it was for instructions. Rejoice in the Lord always. That was for instructions. But the second time he said it, that was for inspiration. He says, listen, and again I say, rejoice. Since the first time he said it, he said, listen, some of y'all, I can look on your faces and tell you ain't got no joy. He's saying, I can tell from the letters I'm getting, I can tell from what's going on with you that you're not focusing on Jesus, so your joy has obviously diminished. And you can look at saints, brothers and sisters, I don't care how long they've been in the church, just because they've been in the church don't mean they've been with Jesus. And when you can look at folk and you can't find a smile, can't find no joy, can't find no peace, can't find no nothing that looks like Jesus in them, it's because though they came in and had a relationship, it's been a long time since they had some fellowship. Because you can't have talked to him this morning at your house and then get here in his house and act like you don't know him. Something's wrong with that from week to week. Sometimes it's a problem because if you talk to him last Sunday and didn't talk to him all week long, no wonder you've gotten weak through the week because you ain't had fellowship with the one who strengthens you. But if I just got through talking to him at my house and then I come into his house and see some others who had conversation and communication with him, it's just something about the joy of the Lord that permeates the place. Listen at this, and I want to show you something else. Listen to what he says. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your mildness, your patience, your temperance, your gentleness, your meekness. Let that be known unto all men. Do you know if it wasn't for the Lord? See, you got to let folk know that it ain't because I can't, it's just because I won't. See, because sometimes folk play you because they don't really know you. And you need to tell some folk, you ought to be glad you've met me since the Lord has changed me. You ought to let some folk look. Don't let the smile fool you. Because if it wasn't for G, I'd hurt you. You need to be real with some folk. Listen. He's still working on me, and he ain't got all of the stuff that he's going to get out of. So I'd be careful if I were you. But the only reason why I'm holding my mouth is because Jesus. You ought to be glad you know me since I've been saved. Look, let your moderation be known unto all men. The only reason, listen at the last part, the Lord is at hand. And this is the part that keeps you, that roots you, that grounds you, that holds you. Listen at what it says. The Lord is at hand. It means, listen at this, it comes from a similar phrase like Maranatha. This phrase means that the Lord is judge and is at hand to punish. That's the phrase. That's the meaning of the phrase. The Lord is judge and he's at hand to punish. So when he was talking about this, he was saying, listen, because I belong to him, I can't act like I don't. Because I belong to him, I know even if he ain't watching you, he's watching me. And because I know this, I've got to act the way the Lord wants me to act, because he's here to render judgment. I wish I had somebody here. Has it ever been a time that you held yourself because you know the Lord was watching you? Has it ever been a time you kept your mouth and didn't want to say some things, yet you wanted in the flesh to say, but you knew the Lord was listening to you? And even though the world can get away with some stuff, you can't get away with everything the world can. I wish I had somebody. Listen at this, because I want you to see something else here. Turn, because this is still Paul talking. Turn over past Colossians to 1 Thessalonians. Skip over Colossians, and the next book is going to be Thessalonians. Look if you will. Because he says something that I found quite interesting. Now, again, this is still Paul now, and he's talking now to the church at Thessalonica. But in one of the shortest verses in all of the Word of God, verse 16 of the 5th chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, look at what he says. Rejoice evermore. Now, when I looked at that, and then I compared that, and I want you to turn to St. John chapter 11 and verse 35. St. John chapter 11, verse 35. I saw the difference, the contrast between what Jesus did and why he did it, and why the other shortest verse in the Bible that folk don't know is short as that short verse in the Bible. See, when you ask for what's the shortest verse in the Bible, the first thing they say is Jesus. But that ain't the only shortest verse in the Bible. There is another short verse that says just the diametrically opposite of what Jesus did. Now, Jesus, listen at this. He wept, listen now, not for himself, but for those who stood around and was looking at the resurrection and didn't even know what they were looking for. He wept because they were looking at what they were looking for, but they could not understand it, nor could they identify it, nor did they understand the power that was in the person that they were previewing. And he wept because there were non-believers who called themselves his people, who didn't know he had the power to conquer, change, and to control every condition in their lives and their situation. And so he wept because on the same note and at the same time, he tapped in his compassion with the cries of those who were crying as though they had no hope. And so that's why it said Jesus wept. But I think I need to make it clear, he didn't weep for himself. And he didn't weep as though he had no hope, because just soon after he got through weeping, you're going to see he had power to change everything that he was weeping about into rejoicing. And I got news for you. If you don't have the power to change what you're weeping about into rejoicing, may I suggest you connect up with Jesus, who's able to change, conquer, and control your every condition. Now look at what Paul says again in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. Rejoice evermore. Now take it from the end and walk it back to the beginning. More ever. Are y'all gonna work with me a little while here? I don't care how you say it. Rejoice evermore. More ever. Rejoice. There ought not be a time in your Christian life where the Lord don't get some rejoicing out of you. Listen to me, and I'm close. I'm bringing this to a close. I think this man, as I walked through scripture and looked at some other things that he had said and he had done, I think he was qualified to tell folk, no matter what you're going through, rejoice. Turn with me to Acts. And I'm closing on this, if you don't mind. Chapter 16. And I want you to see that this man, Paul, wasn't just talking the talk, but he was walking the walk. Listen, he wasn't just telling folk what he heard. He was telling folk what he himself had done. Let's pick up at the 16th chapter in the 16th verse. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. She had many different demons in her. Listen, which brought her masters, not her now, much gain by soothsaying. Fortune telling, cards. Y'all ought to hear me here. Listen, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, verse 18 says, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. He did the same thing Jesus did when that evil spirit got in Peter. He didn't talk to Peter. He talked to the Spirit in Peter. He turned, listening to the Spirit, and said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Verse 19, and her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Now, I think they did just the opposite of it, but you just got to understand how trouble is viewed. Trouble, it just depends on what side of it you're on that will be noted as trouble. He took away the trouble from the city, and the ones who were getting gain from the trouble says that they are troubling their city. Now, listen to this, what he said. The Bible says, again, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, meaning that if anything would have happened to the prisoners, the guards would have then given their lives in the place of the escaped prisoners. Listen again to what the Bible says. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Well, I know all the old Bible readers know this story and understand the guards' positions. Now, every time they got a charge of this magnitude, it meant then that these guards had a sign that said, if these prisoners escape, my life will be substituted for theirs. And so they knew this. And so what they did was they put them in an inner chamber so that even if they got out of the inner chamber, that was still a hope that some of the guards in the prison cells and areas around that would catch them so that they would not escape the prison itself. So now after having them on double lockdown, listen. I want you to see what the Bible says. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and rejoiced. Sing praises. What do you think saying praises mean? They rejoiced. When they prayed, what do you think they prayed? They prayed to the Lord about that situation and said to the Lord, we know you didn't bring us this far to leave us. See, I got to tell you, I know how they prayed because and sang is a conjunction connected to their praying. So if they had prayed a defeated prayer, they would have sung a defeated song. They would have sung, nobody knows the trouble I... Y'all don't hear me here. But since they didn't pray a defeated prayer, they could not sing a defeated song. And so they prayed to the Lord, and whatever they told him in prayer, they connected songs with deliverance and songs with victory, because the Bible says, and sang praises. And you don't sing praises unless you're glorifying God and thanking him and uplifting him for either what he's done, what he's doing, or what he's getting ready to do. Ah, y'all ain't hearing me here. Now listen at this, because listen, when was the last time you were going through some stuff and you were on double lockdown? You were locked in your spirit and locked in your flesh, and it seemed like you couldn't get through. Listen at what Paul and Silas did. They waited till the midnight hour.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address